Dev have returned. No breakdowns, I hope. Very good, very good. Well, it's good to see you guys back and safe. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians tonight, and a little bit in chapter 1 and 2. Want to work with some spiritual things tonight. Maybe a little bit of some deeper things tonight. You ever know that when you're talking to someone about Jesus, sometimes they're looking through you like, what in the world are you talking about? You're trying to share the gospel and they're not really catching what you're talking about. They kind of think that what you're sharing to them is impossible or it's foolish. Well, I want to tell you the scripture tells us that's the way they think. Before we came to Christ, there could have been some times when we thought like that as well. So I want to share with you here this letter to the Corinthians here. And I want to share a couple of parts with it. But this is about God's power tonight. This is about the Holy Spirit and God's wisdom and Him revealing things to us. Let me remind you that the gospel is the number one message. It is pivotal. Without the gospel, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without the gospel, you having it personally, you do not have Jesus personally, which means you do not have any of the promises that God gives to us because of the salvation we have through Christ. But in verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." We get upset sometimes when we share the gospel with people, but they don't want to listen to it. We need to be reminded not to get upset. They feel like it's foolish, but Scripture tells us that the message of the gospel is foolishness, but it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So when we come to the knowledge of knowing that we need Jesus Christ in our life, it is the power. And when we begin to understand that the gospel is not foolishness now. It's necessary. It's a necessity. It is the thing that is necessary, a necessity for everlasting life and eternal life with God. But before we're saved, it is foolishness. And then there are those in the gap. God's opened their minds so they can hear the gospel. So they step out of the foolishness and they start hearing the gospel and they start having questions, and that's good. And they start wrestling with some things. Not quite over here, not quite over here, but right here. Pretty much in the valley of decision making. Oh, so many people, they want to run over to Jesus, they want to take it, but they're listening to it. Maybe this is not foolishness. And some choose Jesus. And experience the everlasting and awesome gift of Jesus Christ and salvation. Some choose to go back into the realm saying, I don't think so. I don't really quite get it. Not right now. And they step back over into it. And then somebody else steps in the middle of it. There's always people moving. But in general, the world says this whole cross thing, this whole Jesus stuff, this whole salvation is foolishness. Because, you know, the world is smarter than God, right? I think so. That the Bible isn't really what it says it is. You know what the Bible does? It speaks truth. And with truth comes conviction. And reality sets in front of us. And when we don't like to look at the real self, we're pretty ugly. There's some great scriptures that comes in after that. But I want to get to the ones that I want to talk to tonight. So I'm going to skip over a few. But in verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Remind yourself what you were before you were called to Jesus. before you received Christ. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of us were influential, and not many of noble birth. What we find out here is not many of us are wise by human standards. We're just not that smart. Comparable to the world, we're just not that smart. We're just not that smart. And we're not very influential. We have a hard time leading horses to water, maybe. And we're not of noble birth. Nobody here has kings in their royal family. Kind of funny when you do genealogy. If you go back far enough, everybody's related to kings and queens and warriors and knights, and nobody's related to the common folk people. But we're not, I don't know anybody here of noble birth. It's kind of like going into high school. It's going through elementary school, junior high, when they pick up the dodgeball teams and they say, okay, you're a captain, pick some people. And everybody goes, oh, I'm not picking you. And then you become the one sitting over there and you go, I'm last picked. Because we want to pick muscle. We want to pick all the guys first. If we're playing basketball, we want the guys that can play. We want the tall guys. And we pick by those standards. But God picks the people that the world doesn't want. Verse 27 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Basically, God chose you and me. He chose you and me because we just aren't that. We, in the world sense, we just don't fit in the box very well. We're not circles that fit in the circle hole. We don't fit. We're kind of rejects. We're kind of like the old Christmas story, the Island of Misfit Toys. We are a broken wheel. We have a broken leg. We have an eye missing. We have a button missing. And the world wants to push us off to the side. Let me tell you, the whole world is like this. But the world has learned to hide it, to camouflage it, to put makeup on it, to whitewash it, because there's an image that the world expects. But God doesn't pick people by noble birth. He doesn't pick people because they're so talented. He picks some of those, but he usually ends up humbling those first. But he picks the ragtag groups of people. Why does he do that? Well, verse 29 tells us, so that no one may boast before him. That no one can say, man, I am so good. Man, I am hot with what I do. I am great. Everything I touch. God picks us so he picks people like you and I. So that when we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're not going to say, look what I did or what I accomplished, but wow, look what God has done for me. I can't believe that God is allowing me to receive his salvation gift. Well, Satan will always want to remind you of all the junk in your life. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is dealing with and wants to deal with. I just want to remind you that while you're alive, you have an option, but you can't choose Christ. When you want to choose Christ, you must choose him when he knocks on your heart's door. But I also will remind you, at death, your options are done. There are no more options. And there is no excuses. God has offered salvation for all men. The world will not choose all men, but only the blue chips. But God chooses those who the world wouldn't choose. so that they may boast upon Jesus Christ, upon the Lord. And he says in verse 31, he says, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So if there's any kind of boasting, we need to boast in the Lord. And so we're getting this straight now. So look at the people. Now, God does choose some noble people. He does choose some pretty smart people, but I believe he usually humbles those. But he chooses a lot of people. The masses of people. You got to remember, when Jesus come upon this earth, it was those who were destitute, those who were sick, those who were lame, those who were demon-possessed. They're the ones that came flocking, and they came flocking to Jesus. Most of the others were standing off at a distance because, ooh, I don't get involved with a crowd like that. Well, that's exactly where Jesus was. They had opportunity, but they chose not to, because they didn't want to be mingling with that crowd. So we need to understand this. God chooses you with your brokenness and your sin. And no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ can forgive you of all of it. The problem is you have to let it go. You have to learn to let it go. And we go a little bit deeper. Chapter 2, a little bit deeper. Paul is talking, that he says in verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. So Paul is saying, it's not because I got all these big, long, 10-syllable words from Webster's Dictionary. But he just spoke commonly. But it was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You see, I don't have a seminary degree. I don't have a lot of education. I don't have a lot. I've not been trained by the blue chip preachers. Nothing against them. I love some of those guys. I listen to them. I love them. But I wasn't trained by them. I have to rely on a lot of my own personal studies, listening to a lot of preachers, but I have to pray a lot. I have to lean on the Holy Spirit. When I was putting this message together, I knew it'd be kind of difficult because I have to, not that I'm way up here, but I have to bring it to a level that we all understand it, even including myself, because it gets kind of twisty in some deep parts about Scripture. You see, some of this is going over, this next section is going to go over some of our heads, but we're going to grasp it together, all right? Listen, if you're lost right now and you start understanding, you may not understand everything tonight, but I'll tell you this, with a message like this, Jesus still saves some. This may be your night of salvation, even with a message like this, because you may miss everything else I'm saying because you're still stuck on that other part, which is good, what we just talked about. Man, I was not of those things. God's choosing, he's opening the door for me to receive him, because to me, I am a nobody. But God's looking and saying, hey, come on my team. When the world wouldn't choose you, I'm telling you, Jesus is picking you to be on his team. And if that's what you get out of tonight, praise the Lord. That's what you need tonight. But there are some of us that need to move on a little bit further. And if anybody gets anything out of tonight, I prefer you get what we just talked about over anything else. All right? So if you're struggling with salvation, Lord, let them wrestle with that for the rest of the night. But he goes on, he says this in verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Now I'm glad a lot of you are here tonight because we feel like we're mature, but the mature messages can be really struggling at times. But it's good. It's good. But not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden, and the God is destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now, if those people that are lost, they would not have crucified the Lord. But believe me, just because you wouldn't do something doesn't mean your heart's changed. However, it is written, here we go, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those whom he loves. There are things that the world will never understand and never, they will never get it. They have blinders on them. They will not get it because they are not part of the family of God. They have not taken that first step into salvation. So there are things that we haven't seen or heard, those things that God has prepared for those who love. The world doesn't know those things. They don't understand those things. How can they understand these things if they believe the cross was foolishness? But these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So we're getting even into some deeper stuff. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, because it is God's Spirit. God's Spirit even when we pray, the Holy Spirit groans for us because we just can't get it right. He says, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? Who knows what you're thinking except you? I don't know what you thought about 5 minutes ago, what you're thinking about right now, but you do. And no one else knows. But yet God knows. God knows. Even a lost person, God knows. But for the believer, there is a Holy Spirit inside of that person. Here's the deep part. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Okay? So just as much as I can't get into your mind, you can't get into my thought pattern, but God can. No one can get into God's thought pattern. Just can't do it. But he says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world. Once we come to Christ, we do not have the spirit of the world in us anymore. It's done. That void, that world stuff, that flesh stuff, that self-centered stuff is pulled out. And that emptiness is filled with the Holy Spirit. So it says, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand, that we may understand. We may not know all the things about God, but now we're going to be able to understand what God has freely given us. I can't fathom heaven. People can feel like they can understand it. And lost people think that they have an idea of what heaven is. A lot of believers have an idea of what heaven is. We have scriptures that gives us a visual I can watch preachers preach from Israel. I can read about Israel, Jerusalem. I can read about Jerusalem. There's people that visit Jerusalem. I can hear all these things, but I can look at pictures, but does that really give me the understanding of what it means to live in Jerusalem? God has given us scriptures through Revelations and some other scriptures of what heaven is going to be like, what it is like. But we really don't know until we experience it. But what we do have is the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. We may not know everything that's going on that God wants, you know, that God has in our realm of our life, but we can have understanding knowing God is moving in my life. Oh no, this is spiritual warfare going on in my life. Oh, I'm feeling purposed to pray for something specifically. I have my spirit. There's something in me that's telling me that I need to make a certain phone call. I understand to do those things because I understand that's not my voice, but it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a voice that we as believers should know. It shouldn't be like, I'm not sure if that's a Holy Spirit. If it is not, you're not sure if it's a Holy Spirit, take some time, pray about it, and listen. Find that place where you can, your place, whatever it is. Because if God's trying to speak to you and tell you something, God is not being loud enough. We're just not maybe listening, or we're not in tune to what God is speaking. But God has given us the Spirit that we may understand what God has freely given us. God has given us understanding to understand what the gospel really is and what it's about. You see, when a person comes to Jesus Christ, they understand this: I'm lost. Oh my gosh, I'm lost. I need Christ in my life. I've got sin. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be right with God. I want to get these things. That's what God is touching right there. But God is not giving him the deep, deep, deep things. He's giving him the things right there. Boom, right there in the forehead. That's what you need right now. This is what you need right now. This is what you need right now. You need to understand the saving knowledge and the gift of Jesus Christ, salvation. But as you grow up, as you grow in your walk with Jesus, you begin to understand that, hey, I need to follow Christ on baptism. I'm growing in my walk with Christ. You know what? They're having communion. I need to partake of that, and I need to understand what that is. And you begin to understand those spiritual things. He says, this is what we speak. Not in words taught by the human spirit, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. Whew. We need to understand that there is more spiritual things going around us than what we believe is happening. Quit thinking that spiritual things are only happening on Sunday morning. Let's not think that spiritual things are only happening when I'm reading the Bible or in my prayer time. But that when I'm driving my car, I know what I'm listening to. I'm driving in my car, I know where my mind is going. I'm driving in my car, I'm heading to work. That there's the spiritual realms, that God has doors open for you that are working out here in the world, that there are people that need to hear the gospel. If you go in and all you're doing is fighting an attitude at work all the time, let me tell you, you're not catching what God really wants you to catch. You're not just there for a paycheck. Hello? Need to get that out of your head. You're not just there for a paycheck. You're there to be a witness. Because there are more hurting people around you than what you can see. And God has placed you there. There are spiritual realities out there. And you need to understand, when God's speaking to you, you need to understand it. When God spoke to you at your salvation, you knew the Holy Spirit, you knew God was speaking to you. Amen? Now let me ask you this. When's the last time you heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? Just please do not tell me it was when I got saved. This is why we need to grow up in the Lord. The Lord was not just in front of your face on the day you got saved. He implanted, boom, Holy Spirit inside of you so that you know right from wrong, that He can convict you, that He can lead you, that you would have expressible joy in the world, that you can live a different life than you were living, that you can excel as a Christian. You should know the voice of the Holy Spirit. You should know it different than your own voice. And you should know by now, many of you know that when darkness is tempting you, come on, we should know that. But for you that don't know the Lord yet, it's okay. You got to get through that first part. We got to grow up. This church has got to grow up, and we have to grow up spiritually. Just because somebody's doing something wrong in the church, don't open your mouth and call it out. Take a second walk. Take a 30-second walk. Lord, I was about ready to open my mouth. What should I do? And if the Lord tells you to open your mouth, he's going to tell you to do this, because I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. You do it, you better do it in love. And you better check yourself. We got to grow up spiritually. We got to do more self-examination with the Holy Spirit. Not just with ourselves, with the Holy Spirit. Not, man, look how I'm doing. No, Lord, how am I doing? Lord, what do you want to reveal to me? Because there's things that God wants you to know. There's things God wants you to do in your life. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Bible, the gospel, the scriptures, the prophecy, salvation, second coming, all this stuff is a mystery to the world. But not to you as a believer. Amen? You should know those things I just talked about. Why is it important to go to church? We talked about that on Sunday. We all should have knew that. We all should have known every one of those things I talked about. And most of you did. But we should know those because the reality of the Holy Spirit has taught us that through time. He goes on, he says, verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept these things, the things that come from the Spirit of God. He won't accept these things. He won't expect them from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So let me take a step back. In the world, we are not that smart. But in the world, we are smarter. Because we live here, we are smarter because we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we still live here. That makes sense? We're living amongst them. They think that we're not that smart. We think it's foolishness. But for us who know the mysteries now, that we are wiser than the world, regardless of PhDs and regardless of education, regardless of status, regardless of income, regardless of job, all that stuff. It is because of Jesus Christ. And we go back to verse 31 of chapter 1, so we boast on the Lord about that. So I only got to this place because of the Lord. Amen? You're only where you're at because of the Lord. You've chosen to come to church on a Wednesday night. Usually the most more mature Christians will choose to come to church, not just on Sunday, but will be faithful even to Wednesday night. Why is that? Because there's a hunger that God continues to draw us to, that we might grow in our walk with Him. Person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. Listen to this. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you need to make judgments about everything. Will God want me to do that? Is the Holy Spirit convicting me not to do this? Do I take this job or I don't take this job? I'm going to pray about it. I'm just not going to make a decision because it pays more. I'm going to pray about that. Wow, that's different than the way the world thinks. Take the job. It pays more. Who cares if they lost that other person? You're going to bump that other person out of their job. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Not even consult the Lord. I was young once. How many times, even as a believer, you ask the Lord, listen, but I say I was young, but I see a lot of older people do it too. They want the Lord to jump on their bandwagon with everything they want. Lord bless all this. But they won't let the Lord in the other parts of their life. They shut these doors because that's where they want to do their own thing. Well, that's exactly the doors that Jesus wants to go into. Because you're hurting yourself. You got to make judgments. And you make judgments by calling on the Holy Spirit. discerning things by the Spirit and with the Spirit, not on your own thoughts. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to merely human judgments. Remember, we're not going, just because we make judgments about things, and it isn't just the world, but we have a higher judge. We stand before God. We stand before God, and we're going to give an account to that. So if a person is not, such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We're not going to instruct the Lord, right? We're not going to instruct him. But we have the mind. This is the big statement. We have the mind of Christ. Whoa. Whoa. I say it again. Whoa. So maybe I'm not as dumb as I thought I was. I was dumb at one time about spiritual things and maybe even in the world. But once I come to Christ and I have this mind, I have this Holy Spirit inside of me, and I can think different. I have the mind of Christ. I can choose to do different. Now I can think and know and understand spiritual things. And let me tell you, once you become a believer, if you don't understand spiritual things, you're probably going to have a rough Christian life on this world. You're going to struggle with that. We need to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. We need to draw closer to the Holy Spirit. We need to adjust our living standards to God's ways and not the world's ways. And we only do that by listening to the Holy Spirit. There's some things we might have to cut out of our life, but that's okay. God can fill it up with something better. But in the meantime, you're still sharing the gospel and you're struggling because people don't want to hear it. But the Holy Spirit says, don't give up on that person. You need to step back. You need to pray for that person. Why? Huh? Because you have the mind of Christ. That's what Christ did. And wait for an opportunity that you might share it again. If it doesn't work, you don't stop praying. You keep praying without ceasing. You keep praying. If you love them, you'll keep praying. And they need to know that there's somebody out there that loves them. Because I want to tell you this, there's a lot of hurting people in this world. Now, let's look. This is where I'm going to go before I close out. If there's hurting Christians. Believe me, there are hurting Christians for good purposes and good reasons. But there are some Christians that are hurting that shouldn't be hurting because they're not letting God do His work in them. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're listening to themselves. And meanwhile, there's the world, and there's a lot of hurting people in the world. And they can't get through their problems because they keep doing it the world's way. Now, does the world know some things? Yes, it does. But not about spiritual things. Hello? Not about spiritual things. Not about true forgiveness. Not about what true love is. Not about eternal life or damnation. Let me tell you, if there's a crowd of people that wish they had a second chance, it's those people that are in hell today. But the world wouldn't listen to him. Jesus said, if they won't listen to the prophets, they will listen to you. Because the world is hard. The God of this age has blinded the minds and the hearts of those. And veiled their hearts and their eyes so they wouldn't hear, won't listen and change the gospel. So they got a wall around them. That's why you got to pray. That's why you got to know this is a spiritual thing. You see, what I fear sometimes is us as believers, we've been to the great physician. We've got our eternal healing. We have that salvation. And so we're going, I got my checks and my checks and my O's all dotted and T's all crossed, all that. I got it all done. I'm good. And we don't really care about others. I remind you that hell is filled with grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads and brothers and sisters, war heroes, presidents, great doctors and great lawyers of the world, great historians and great doers of the world. Doesn't matter what they do. If they not had an spiritual experience with Jesus Christ and receive Christ into their life, they're just as dead in their sins as anybody else. Can I remind you that in the Lamb's Book of Life, there are people who have murdered people, who've done some really horrible things. You got people on one side that's done bad things. You got people on the other side that's done bad things. And the only difference is these people chose Jesus Christ. And they said, my way is not working. I need forgiveness. Lord, take my life. Do with it as you please. And these people said, I don't think so. It's the only difference. You either know about spiritual things or you don't. It doesn't mean you know everything that's spiritual. Because we are always growing. We should be. We should always be listening to what the Holy Spirit has for us to do, what to say, where to go, what to be, where to be. And we do it on a daily basis. Don't think it's all up to a preacher. You weren't saved just for your name to be in heaven. You were saved also to share the gospel. To share to others what God has done in your life. That they might too receive the gospel. And hear from the same Spirit that you heard from God. Speaking into your life saying, son, lady, you need me. You need Jesus in your life. Father, as we close out this message tonight, I know that spiritual things can be hard to discern at times. But I also know that when you're calling one to receive you with salvation, that you even allow the unsaved, the lost person, to understand a little bit that they are lost. They understand that much. And you open their heart for a moment. You open that door that they might receive. You give them an opportunity to receive. We thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for the opportunity when you gave it to me. But tonight we want to give that opportunity again. And we want to give that opportunity also for those who are struggling to hear the Holy Spirit. Who feel like there's a wall between them and the Holy Spirit. And that's a struggle for many Christians. And that shouldn't be. Sometimes, Lord, it's just we're trying to talk from a distance and really can't hear when we're talking from a distance. I pray, Father, for this group tonight that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to